College English Test, Band 6, Part 2, Listening Comprehension. Section A, Directions. In this section, you will hear two long conversations. At the end of each conversation, you will hear four questions. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then, mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 1 with a single line through the center.
Conversation 1. So, what's the next thing on the agenda, Mary?
Well, it's the South Theatre Company. They want to know if we'd be interested in sponsoring a tour they want to make to East Asia.
East Asia, ah. And how much are they hoping to get from us?
Well, the letter mentions £20,000, but I don't know if they might settle for less.
Do they say what they would cover? Have they anything specific in mind?
No, I think they're just asking all the firms in town for as much money as they think they'll give.
And we're worth £20,000, eh?
It seems so.
Very flattering. But I'm not awfully happy with the idea. What do we get out of it?
Oh, good publicity, I suppose. So what I suggest is not that we just give them a sum of money, but that we offer to pay for something specific, like travel or something, and that in return we ask for our name to be printed prominently in the program and that they give us free advertising space in it.
But the travel bill would be enormous, and we could never manage that.
I know, but why don't we offer to pay for the printing of the programs ourselves, on condition that on the front cover there's something like, "This program is presented with the compliments of Norland Electronics." And free advertising, of course.
Good idea. Well, let's get back to them and ask what the program they want will cost. Then we can see if we're interested or not.
Questions 1 to 4 are based on the conversation you have just heard.
Question 1.
What do we learn about the South Theatre Company?
Question 2. How much does the South Theatre Company ask for in the letter? Question 3.
What benefit does the woman say their firm can get by sponsoring the theater company?
Question 4.
What does the woman suggest they do instead of paying the South Theater Company's travel expenses? Conversation 2. Rock stars now face a new hazard, voice abuse. After last week's announcement that Phil Collins might give up touring because live concerts are ruining his voice, doctors are counseling stars about the do's and don'ts of voice care. Here in the studio today, we have Mr. Paul Phillips, an expert from the Highfield Hospital. Paul, what advice would you give to singers facing voice problems?
If pop singers have got voice problems, they really need to be more selective about where they work. They shouldn't work in smoky atmospheres. They also need to think about resting their voices after a show. Something else they need to be careful about is medicines. Aspirin, for example. Singers should avoid aspirin. It thins the blood, and if a singer coughs, this can result in the bruising of the vocal cords.
And is it true that some singers use drugs before concerts to boost their voices when they have voice problems?
Yes, this does happen on occasion. They're easily available on the continent, and they're useful if a singer has problems with his vocal cords and has to sing that night. But if they're taken regularly, they cause a thinning of the voice muscle. Most pop singers suffer from three things: lack of training, overuse, and abuse of the voice, especially when they are young. They have difficult lives. When they go on tour, they do a vast number of concerts, sing in smoky places.
So, what would you advise these singers to do?
Warm your voice up before a show and warm it down after.
Questions 5 to 8 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 5.
What does last week's announcement say about rock star Phil Collins?
Question 6.
What does Paul Phillips say about aspirin?
Question 7.
What does Paul Phillips say about young pop singers?
Question 8.
What are the speakers mainly talking about?
Section B. Directions. In this section, you will hear two passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear three or four questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 1 with a single line through the center.
Passage 1. Would you trust a robot to park your car? The question will confront New Yorkers in February as the city's first robotic parking opens in Chinatown. The technology has been successfully applied overseas, but the only other public robotic garage in the United States has been troublesome, dropping vehicles and trapping cars because of technical problems. Nonetheless, the developers of the Chinatown garage are confident with the technology and are counting on it to squeeze 67 cars in an apartment building basement that would otherwise fit only 24, accomplished by removing a maneuver space normally required. A human-shaped robot won't be stepping into your car to drive it. Rather, the garage itself does the parking. The driver stops the car on a flat platform and gets out. The platform is lowered into the garage, and it is then transported to a vacant parking space by a computer-controlled device similar to an elevator that also runs sideways. There is no human supervision, but an attendant will be on hand to accept cash and explain the system to new users. Parking rates will be attractive, about $400 monthly or $25 per day, according to Ari Milstein, the Director of Planning for Automation Parking Systems, which is the U.S. subsidiary of a German company. This company has built automated garages in several countries overseas and in the United States for residents of a Washington, D.C. apartment building.
Questions 9 to 12 are based on the passage you have just heard.
Question 9.
What do we learn about robotic parking in the U.S. so far?
Question 10.
What advantage does robotic parking have according to its developers?
Question 11.
What does the attendant do in the automated garage?
Question 12.
What does the company say about the parking rates? Passage 2.
Alcoholism is a serious disease. Nearly 9 million Americans alone suffer from the illness. Many scientists disagree about what the differences are between an alcohol addict and a social drinker. The difference occurs when someone needs to drink, and this need gets in the way of his health or behavior. Alcohol causes a loss of judgment and alertness. After a long period, alcoholism can deteriorate the liver, the brain, and other parts of the body. The illness is dangerous because it is involved in half of all automobile accidents. Another problem is that the victim often denies being an alcohol addict and won't get help. Solutions do exist. Many hospitals and centers help patients cope. Without assistance, the victim can destroy his life. He will detach himself from the routines of life. He may lose his employment, home, or loved ones. All the causes of the sickness are not discovered yet. There is no standard for a person with alcoholism. Victims range in age, race, sex, and background. Some groups of people are more vulnerable to the illness. People from broken homes and North American Indians are two examples. People from broken homes often lack stable lives. Indians, likewise, had their traditional life taken from them by white settlers, who often encouraged them to consume alcohol to prevent them from fighting back. The problem has now been passed on. Alcoholism is clearly present in society today. People have started to get help and information. With proper assistance, victims can put their lives together one day.
Questions 13 to 15 are based on the passage you have just heard.
Question 13.
What is a problem with the victims of alcoholism according to the speaker?
Question 14.
Why did white settlers introduce alcohol to Indians?
Question 15.
What does the speaker seem to believe about those affected by alcoholism?
Section C. Directions. In this section, you will hear three recordings of lectures or talks, followed by three or four questions. The recordings will be played only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices, marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 1 with a single line through the centre.
Recording 1.
Hi, everybody. On Tuesday, America went to the polls, and the message you sent was clear. You voted for action, not politics as usual. You elected us to focus on your jobs, not ours. That's why I've invited leaders of both parties to the White House next week, so we can start to build consensus around challenges we can only solve together. I also intend to bring in business, labor, and civic leaders from around the country, from outside Washington, to get their ideas and input as well. At a time when our economy is still recovering from the Great Recession, our top priority has to be jobs and growth. That's the focus of the plan I talked about throughout the campaign. It's a plan to reward businesses that create jobs here in America and give people access to the education and training that those businesses are looking for. It's a plan to rebuild our infrastructure and keep us on the cutting edge of innovation and clean energy. And it's a plan to reduce our deficit in a balanced and responsible way. This is even more important because at the end of this year, we face a series of deadlines that require us to make major decisions about how to pay down our deficit. Decisions that will have a huge impact on the economy and the middle class, not only now, but in the future. Last year, I worked with Democrats and Republicans to cut $1 trillion worth of spending, and I intend to work with both parties to do more. But as I said over and over again on the campaign trail, we can't just cut our way to prosperity. If we're serious about reducing the deficit, we have to combine spending cuts with revenue. And that means asking the wealthiest Americans to pay a little more in taxes. That's how we did it when Bill Clinton was president, and that's the only way we can afford to invest in education and job training and manufacturing, all the ingredients of a strong middle class and a strong economy. Already, I've put forward a detailed plan that allows us to make these investments while reducing our deficit by $4 trillion over the next decade.
Questions 16 to 19 are based on the recording you have just heard.
Question 16. Why are leaders of both parties invited to the White House next week? Question 17. What is the focus of the mentioned plan? Question 18. What are the major decisions about? Question 19. What does combining spending cuts with revenue mean?
Recording 2.
Most people agree that eating healthy food is important, but sometimes making good food choices can be tough. Now, there are apps that can help people learn about the food they eat to improve their diets and their dining out experience. Open Table. Open Table helps people choose restaurants when they want to go out to eat. Open Table is a free service that shows users restaurant availability based on where and when they want to dine. Open Table users can also make restaurant reservations directly through the app or website. Open Table gives users points when they make reservations. The points can add up to discounts on restaurant visits. When users make reservations through Open Table, they get an email confirmation. They can also add the reservation directly to their electronic calendar. Max McMackelman's Cheese and Wine. But which wines go best with which cheeses? Max McMackelman's Cheese and Wine app can help. It provides information about hundreds of different cheeses and suggests wines to pair with each. More than 3,000 possible combinations can be found based on 600 different cheeses. The app includes a Cheese 101 section that teaches the basics about choosing a cheese. Max McMackelman's Cheese and Wine Pairing app is free for iPhone and iPad. Epicurious. Epicurious is a free app and website to help users find recipes and become better cooks. The app has more than 30,000 recipes and can create a shopping list based on the ingredients in a recipe. Users can search by ingredients or by vegetables that are in season where they live. The app also rates recipes for popularity and other qualities. Users also provide advice about making the recipes. Each recipe has a list of ingredients, preparation time, instructions, as well as a photo of the finished meal. Calorific. What does 200 calories look like? It can be hard to picture. For example, 200 calories of broccoli and 200 calories of cake look very different. The app Calorific shows just that. Calorific provides images of 200 calories worth of food. The pictures can help people on diets and those who just want to eat healthier. The app also provides the weights of each food pictured. The app is free for iPad and iPhone. There is also a version that provides more information for a price. Harvest. An app called Harvest informs users about seasonal fruits and vegetables in different areas. This can be helpful in planning meals. Harvest also tells about pesticide use and organic food. Users can learn the best ways to safely store food and keep it fresh longer.
Questions 20 to 22 are based on the recording you have just heard.
Question 20. What are the points OpenTable offers users for? Question 21. What do we learn about Epicurus? Question 22. How does Calorific help people get healthier?
Recording 3.
We've had 50 years of progress since that landmark Surgeon General's report back in 1964. Over these years, incredible things have taken place. Our society has changed in terms of tobacco use, in terms of its acceptance of smoking in public establishments, in restaurants, in bars. So things have really changed for the better. In addition, smoking rates have come down in the United States. We went from 43% of adult smokers in the United States to 18% currently. So that's really made incredible headway. Yet, I have to emphasize, the battle isn't over. The war isn't over. 18% of American adults who are still smoking, basically 40 million people in our population. That being said, we have to realize also that of that whole group, we're going to have roughly 500,000 people every year dying from smoking-related diseases. So, although we've made progress in 50 years, the reality is we still have a lot of work to do. So, you know, we increasingly see tough advertisements on the air against smoking. These ads are working. In particular, the CDC, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, came up with a series of advertisements from former smokers called TIPS. And that really was quite effective in terms of reducing the number of smokers. In addition, there's various policies that need to be implemented and further implemented in order to make us a tobacco-free society. So we really have to work at the idea of using media, using those advertisements. We have to look at really concentrating on the youth of America to make it more difficult to actually get cigarettes. And, in addition, we have to look at the idea of pricing cigarettes appropriately so that ultimately it becomes a hardship to use those products. So, let's talk a little bit about packaging those products. Other countries have much more graphic detail of the potential dangers of smoking. We are currently working closely. The Office of the Surgeon General is working closely with the Food and Drug Administration, specifically the Center for Tobacco Products, and are reanalyzing the whole row of the idea of the warning labels and the idea of how graphic they should be. And so, there will probably be more information coming out on this in the near future.
Questions 23 to 25 are based on the recording you have just heard.
Question 23. What is the number of smokers in America? Question 24. What measures can be taken to make it harder to get cigarettes? Question 25. What institution does the speaker most likely come from?
This is the end of listening comprehension.